you never quite know what's going to happen. Welcome back to Coach Class with me, Dom Birch. This is the podcast where I get to speak to inspirational leaders and coaches from across the globe. And I'm delighted this week to welcome onto the show somebody who goes by the name Wads. Stephen Waddington has had a glittering and exciting career in many ways. Started out life as a journalist before moving into the world of PR. He set up his own agency. He left that. He did something else. He's been president of the Chartered Institute of Public Relations and more recently has set up Wads Inc., which I'm sure he can tell us more about. But Stephen, welcome to Coach Class and thank you very much for joining me.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, I always love catching up with you, and it's something that we've done on and off over the years. And I was thinking, what brought us together? And it was probably me, you, and a few other people kind of got thrown together in this sort of CIPR social media forum thing. And I remember feeling very inadequate, and I wasn't, you know, that imposter thing of like, why am I here? Like, why have I? But I think I actually said the words to you or somebody else. Oh, I think my boss, Nick, should be on this panel. And it might have been Marshall who said, No, Dom, we want you on it, or Rob. You know, somebody just gave me a bit of a reassuring word, and then off we went. What's your sort of memories of that time?
So that was a hugely optimistic time, wasn't it, for social media? So the CIPR jumped into that space and created this panel. Actually, that panel came out of discussions within the CIPR about quite negative discussions around social forms of media being narcissistic. So yes, a group of renegades got together to prove the point that actually, there was something serious going on here with owned and shared media, as individuals and organizations could create their own media and build networks. And I remember it as an incredibly optimistic time because, yeah, you're right. We had a fantastic bunch of people around that table, and you know, we wrote two books published by Wiley. Everyone in that group has gone on to do incredible things. What is a little bit disappointing is, you know, none of the optimism that we had for social forms of media has really come to fruition. I sometimes despair a little bit about what's become of Facebook and things like that. Maybe we can come on and talk about that.
And it's funny because I think it's one of those moments in me that, you know, you look back on your career and you kind of go, where were those leap moments? Where were those moments where you stepped up either in confidence or in skills or, you know, get a promotion? And I think it was where I started to take myself seriously because I was around a table with a caliber of people who I admired, I looked up to, I sort of was a bit, I don't know, probably a bit in awe of because there were all these people who were seemingly...
You were doing amazing work yourself, both creatively and in terms of innovation at Asda.
I think that's probably the moment, actually. It was that inflection point where you kind of go, oh, right, actually, I'm all right in this company. I feel like I can participate and I'm an equal. So it was sort of a really transformational part of my career, I think, when I look back. The other thing that came around, obviously, is I had a career break, didn't I? I went off and tried to do 37 different things in a year. And I remember you contacted me and just saying, Dom, do you want to meet for a curry in Leeds? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And to be honest, I thought you were going to offer me a job or something. I thought, is he tapping me up for a job in the agency? No, I was quite excited. And then I ran into Leeds and you ran into Shipley and we ended up being in the same curry house, but in like 10 miles apart, didn't we?
For me at the time, I was just, and as I continue to do, just explore, build community and explore lots of different things. I think, you know, the realization in my career is I've benefited from, I've only realized this relatively recently, kind of retrospectively, I benefited from huge changes in media. So I actually trained originally as an engineer at university, then went into journalism. And at every stage of my career, I've benefited from a shift in technology. So initially, I built an agency with a guy called Steve Earle focused around tech PR as the internet was building out, you know, at the end of the 90s, and then another agency, Speed, around digital media and social. And, you know, I look at those big inflection points in my career, and there is a shift in technology at every point or something major in culture and society. And, you know, even now in the last 18 months, 12 months, I've set up this new business, you know, it's around the opportunity created in society around COVID-19 and what's happening with work and life. And, you know, like so many people, COVID's proved to be an opportunity for me to think many aspects of my work and life and how they might work better together.
And I know that, you know, you just said a minute ago, you're a little bit disappointed with our optimism of the social web and how, you know, it just felt like anything was possible. But one of the great things that you do, and you'd sort of do it intuitively, whether you're collaborating on writing a book or whether you're pulling together, you know, tips and advice for young PR professionals who are just sort of feeling their way into the industry, is that you work, I suppose you work out loud, don't you? You have the kind of like this idea of, you know, having a shared space where people can input and can generate content, and you kind of gather and sift and then move that along. You're a, you know, like you're a very collaborative doer is how I'd think of you.
That's really sweet. What an ace description as well, a collaborative doer. So two really positive things from the social web, that ability, yes, to work out loud and to share ideas, and other people inevitably will come and improve them and help you out, providing you have a level of generosity and humility. But then also the creation of community, building people, creating shared spaces, as you suggest, that where people can come and think and share ideas. And those two things are really, really important and are positive aspects of social media. And long may they continue. What I'm a little bit disappointed with is just the way social media has been weaponized, almost abused, been taken over by big tech.
And I saw recently, I know when we sort of came out of the early bits of lockdown, I remember seeing a picture where you were in a room with real people having a real creative brainstorm discussion. What was it about that? Because I think there is something magical, isn't there, about people being in a space together and feeling and sensing from one another that, you know, isn't necessarily replicable in a Zoom environment. You know, how is it that you like to work, and how do you feel like you can get the best from others, but also, you know, be the best version of you?
Don't get me wrong, we can make remote work, virtual working work, as we've had to. You know, you just have to put in a layer of planning and administration, and then you need a load of technology to help manage the process. You know, technology like Zoom, like Sugarbox that we've talked about to help the creative process along. You know, it's not to say that brilliant creativity hasn't been done during lockdown, because clearly it has. In fact, there's some exceptional work, but there is nothing to replace either in terms of, you know, thinking and working or learning. That shared experience of people in a room where, you know, you just get bursts of energy and ideas come from, you know, come from nowhere. That's really, really what I miss. But I think you spoiled it very early on, actually, after the first lockdown ended. I got together with a bunch of people to think around the creative problem in Newcastle. And it was just the energy and the relief of being able to sit next to people, smell them, see them, you know. It's just something that a two-dimensional screen and pixels do not allow.
No, and you really cherish it, don't you, when you're allowed back, I suppose. I mean, it was interesting. I've started sort of this burgeoning, you know, career of trying to coach people, and I've got sort of volunteer clients who are very kindly allowing me to sort of learn as we go. But, you know, most of that's been done on Zoom, and actually there's a certain security for both sides, actually. Somebody's in their own space in a secure, quiet, you know, safe place, which is really important when you're sort of building trust and allowing somebody to, you know, you're inviting them to come and do the work as a coach. But last week I had to meet somebody in a real world, and it was like, oh my gosh, can I do it without my little post-it note next to the laptop to remind me to be calm or stay still or whatever it is, you know? Of course you could, you know, and we walked and talked, and it was just really interesting to match the pace that he was walking at, which was quite quick, and just to slow down over a half hour. And then we did an about turn, which was sort of almost like symbolic of like, okay, that's great context. Now, what do you want to do with that? Now that you've shared that information, what do you want to do next? What's your, you know, like you've been around the field of work now. What's your sort of preferred way of working? And you know, where do you get your energy from, I guess?
I get my energy from all over the place. You know, reading a lot, sharing ideas from all over the place. So I've built substantial networks over my career, and I lean into those an awful lot. I love your idea of walking meetings. I did two really, really memorable walking meetings during lockdown. One of them in particular, I worked on a project for 3 years with Ralph Tench, the Dean of Research at Leeds Business School. And he actually, didn't he teach you?
Yeah, Ralph and I go way back, but you keep going. I'll tell you about that
right,
in a moment.
Okay, so we, you know, 3 years we've spent writing this book, working with a community of 30 thinkers and doers, you know, scholars from around the world to produce this book. And you know, every industry has a definitive book. And exploring PR and management communication is, you know, what we've got in the public relations industry. And, you know, it's Ralph and a woman called Liz Yeomans have built this brilliant community and reputation. And I stepped into the project three and a half years ago. You know, we developed it through, you know, face-to-face meetings. Ralph come down to London, I go up to Leeds. We did a lot of work online. But in the last 12 months, and the book coming together is obviously it was under lockdown. Also, you know, what's the point of writing a book or publishing a book coming out of the most incredible time in history, both for society and culture? You know, in facing this pandemic, inevitably practice and all sorts of industries are going to hugely change. So we worked really, really hard to do a rewrite of the book and add a load of new material. And I ended up doing meetings on the North York Moors. We did this incredible 15-mile hike one day where we just thrashed out every chapter. And now we were going to, you know, get this thing out and to market, and we did, and it was published in January. It's probably one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
But it's just something about that constraint, isn't it? That it does create ingenuity. You have to be creative to overcome the solution, and then you discover things that maybe, you know, we may never have discovered without this pandemic. Yeah, Ralph's interesting. Just even mentioning Ralph's name, so I think he probably was the first person who coached me in a kind of formal sense. He was my dissertation tutor in 98. And he just had a great style of guiding and sort of, you know, just gently holding you and moving you through the process, but not doing the work. You know, like that was the first piece of chunky work you do as a student, 15, 20,000 words. You know, you're putting your heart and soul. It's effectively like writing a book, isn't it, when it's 15,000 words for the first time. And he just guided me through, you know, and it's probably the proudest piece of work I did. You know, I got a first for my dissertation, which was way out of my expectations. But, you know, everyone wanted to be a bit like Ralph, it's fair to say, at university. He's just one of the, and he's annoyingly still baby-faced these days when you meet occasionally for a beer and a pizza. But anyway, we won't go there.
He's the Harrison Ford of the PR industry.
He certainly is. He'll love that. I might have to get him on next to talk about it. So as you sort of look to the future then, what is it that, you know, what's still on the WADS to-do list? Because, you know, if somebody who's accomplished so much, and I get the impression that you feel very grounded and very settled in WADS Inc. and in this sort of ability, I guess, to have, you know, the best of all worlds, which is you get to tinker with other people's agencies and help them along the way and draw down on your experience of having sort of been there, done that. Are you in that place now where you just feel, you know, on your houseboat in London, everything's cool?
Grounded is a really interesting word because I haven't thought about that before, but I've certainly found my place at this moment in time for sure. And I hadn't considered it as grounded, but I guess you're right. Yes. And, you know, what I've found is I'm being able to use all my skills right the way back to my engineering degree and everything I've learned in both professional practice, but also building agencies, and help apply that both to agency entrepreneurs and comms teams. And in doing that, you know, I'm thinking through, my mum asked me actually, you know, you start a business, you lean heavily on your friends and family. You know, I have done in starting WADS Inc. And, you know, my mum's managing my finances and my bookkeeper. She's coming in as the CFO, rather grandly. But she's asking, how's it going? It seems to be going well. And it is. It's absolutely flying. Every one of the agencies I'm working with, and, you know, it's a factor of the time and the market, is doing really, really well. And being able to contribute to that, it's just hugely, hugely rewarding in terms of both innovation and, you know, the work that each agency is doing in its own way, but then also in terms of, you know, the opportunities they're creating in the industry. It's hugely, hugely exciting time.
I'm going to ask you a classic coachy style question, so just humour me. But if you were going back to that age when you were just completing your engineering degree or whatever, What's the advice that you'd tell yourself? What bit of wisdom would you give yourself now that you have this sort of lived experience of the last 20 odd years? What would you go back and say to yourself?
God, the 25-year-old self question. I guess it would be something personal, actually, around emotion. And learn to manage your emotion. And your emotion is an indicator of your so many things in your life. You know, I've learned over time that if I am unhappy in an area of my life, I get angry, I'm frustrated. That's clearly not, it's not acceptable in everyday life. And I've learned to manage it, learned to manage both anger, but also learned that that is a sign and something needs changing. If I'm getting frustrated and angry, something needs changing. And that ability to manage emotion, I think for me, is probably the most important lesson of my life.
It's really, it just really strikes a chord, and thank you for sharing that. We're told a lot when we're on our course together on Barefoot, we're told to notice what you notice. And I think it's really important, you know, so observing what's going on and feeling that behavior, that emotion, and then choosing what do I want to do with it? But honoring it, right? You've got to honor it. If there's frustration and there's anger, or in my case, you know, I go quiet and, you know, a bit within myself. But I've begun, I suppose, over the last 5-10 years, just to notice that moment and go, ah, I know now that I need to do something. I need to put in some action. Oh, Wads, honestly, it's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on Coach Class. I just think it's great catching up. And if I have to use a podcast as a reason to do it, I'm going to interview you every other week.
Thanks very much. And you know, be sure to look at Ralph Tench, because he would be a brilliant candidate for this. Really,
he's
brilliant.
He's going to be next on my list. Wads, for now, thank you so much for coming on to Coach Class.
Cheers, Dom. Thank you.